RadioInfluence.com.
Flavor, please tell your neighbors. Ian Beckles with flavor in your ear. Wake up, sports, music, and fashion. Best of podcasting. What's going on now and what's soon to happen? Be sure to stick around, no fast forward or skipping. Dropping jewels, you don't want to miss them. Make sure you listen. Ian Beckles with the flavor in your ear. The voice of the people's here. It's here.
Hello, everybody. Here comes a brand new flavor in your ear. And by the way, I'm not the first person to say that. Craig Mack did back in the day. One of the first remixes ever with the likes of Busta Rhymes and LL Cool J and P. Diddy, who I just saw as the highest grossing celebrity of last year. P. Diddy, highest grossing celebrity of last year with Jay-Z and Beyonce and all those U2 and all those big groups like that. And P. Diddy, somebody with minimal talent, is making all the money. How about that? Must be a pretty darn good businessman. Anyways, this is Flavor in Your Ear. Ian Beckles here, and we're going to have fun today. So much going on in the world in general. I like to start off with a little bit of sports talk. Then we're going to go into a little pop culture. And then I always end with Trump talk, a.k.a. Politics. And there's a lot of stuff happening now. And I just think throughout his reign, however long it's going to be, it'll never be anything other than a lot of things happening. I don't think it's possible because there's more stuff happening now than I'm positive ever before in politics. I'm sure, you know, during Nixon and Clinton, there was stuff going on, but not like this. I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff going on. By the way, if you can, rate and review me on Apple Podcast. That would help out if you enjoy the podcast. Give me some love. And I'll spread out to some more people. I want to give love to B Tampa, who gave me a 5-star rating. Big ups to you. And I hope everybody else that enjoys the podcast goes and give me some love on Apple Podcast. Now, for you guys in the Tampa Bay area that are looking for a good time, June 30th, Manny and Gordon trial attorneys are helping me present a dignitary party, Summer Bash, which is going to be at the Mahaffey in St. Petersburg. We're going to have Pitbull Toddler is going to be the feature act. We're going to have the Hard Rock Calendar Girls. There's probably 6 or 7 other musical acts. They got 3 DJs, a jam skater, Bunny Couture, Bathing Suit's going to do a little show. The Bikini Boss Babes are going to be there. A store down the street here on Beta Bay, Rehab's going to do a fashion show. Touch Vodka is going to be debuting their Touch One in the VIP lounge, which is going to be catered by Eddie V. So we're doing it big, and we're doing it delicious for sure. Smoking Aces, Gennaro's, a lot of different other foods are going to be there. So if you want to have a wonderful time, June 30th, the VIPs that have RSVP, it has been amazing so far. We got a lot of the muckety mucks and big wigs in the area. I'm going to be hanging out June 3rd at the Mahaffey. If you want to check out tickets, go to themahaffey.com. That's themahaffey.com. Look up Dignitary Party Summer Bash and come hang out with us. Have some wonderful food, wonderful drink, and the company's going to be amazing, and I can't wait to see the entertainment because, you know, we meet here once a week. We got 12 to 15 people putting together an event, and everybody's good at what they do. Greg Wolf and Street Laced, my girl from Days Remembered, Decor, and a lot of other people putting together a wonderful event. So June 30th, the Mahaffey, go to themahaffey.com if you want to check out tickets. Now, let's go right to the sports, okay? There's a lot of stuff happening in sports. The big thing that I don't know if it's not going to be the biggest thing ever when it comes to money is the McGregor and Mayweather fight. Everybody's talking about it. What I said was going to happen is happening. There's people justifying McGregor winning, which I said everybody was going to do, which is good. I mean, that's good. If somebody who obviously doesn't know anything about the boxing game or sports in general, says that McGregor's going to win, that's fine. That's okay. I don't think you know anything about sports because if you don't step into the ring or any forum with the best and have it be your first outing, it doesn't work like that. So this is like taking a college football player. It's like taking a college offensive lineman and putting J.J. Watt across from him. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think he's going to block JJ by accident? So do people think that Conor McGregor is going to beat Mayweather by accident, because that's the only way it could happen, but I've never seen that happen before. I've never seen anybody win a boxing match by accident. Never. So, you know, obviously there's been this videotape come out, and it's going viral of Conor McGregor boxing this dude from back in the day. I think it was a couple years ago. Chris Van Heerden or something is his name like that, but he's a no-name boxer. And he is dotting Conor McGregor's eye, and he looked worse than I thought he was going to look. Now, that's 2 years ago. You can improve substantially. But the guy in that video has no chance at any time in his life to beat Floyd Mayweather in boxing. I'm sorry. If you think you're going to beat Floyd Mayweather in boxing, it's his sport. He's the best ever. You better show me something when you were four. And Conor McGregor is getting his eye dotted by a no-name 2 years ago. Now, Jason, I know you're an MMA guy. You do a little something for MMA. What's the name of your show?
It's the MMA Report and the MMA Insiders Podcast, both on RadioInfluence.com.
So MMA is your thing, okay? And you've heard me talk about MMA before. I'm a boxing guy. I love boxing. But I'm going to tell you what, I watch MMA more. I watch MMA maybe 2-3 times a week. So I can see myself as an MMA guy for sure. What is your opinion on what's going to happen when McGregor gets in that ring with Mayweather? Forget about what anything I said. What has been your opinion of what you think is going to happen?
Floyd wins within the first four rounds, okay, unless he wants to toy with him for 12 rounds and make it basically a sparring matchup. Conor does not have a chance. Everyone keeps saying, oh, he's got a puncher's chance.
No, sir.
First off, it's 10-ounce gloves, yeah, not 4-ounce gloves. So you're not going to drop Floyd with one shot. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the question. What's the over-under on the amount of punches Conor can land in a round?
Four.
And he's not weighing around.
No. Listen, let me tell you something, okay? Go back and look at Floyd Mayweather's, you know, all of his fights. He barely loses rounds, period, to anybody. And we're talking about top-notch boxers. So forget about him winning a round. That's not going to happen. If he hits him more than five times in a round, I'll be shocked. He won't hit him with any power punches. I mean, this is what I'm seeing. And if you're an MMA guy, they're almost taught to take punches. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to turn out well, because when that one punch hits him, there's another one coming right behind it.
Well, I mean, here's the other thing. Everyone keeps talking about, you know, oh, McGregor's going to come at him and all this. When has Floyd gotten into a brawl?
He doesn't have to brawl. McGregor's going to come right at him. Floyd's going to pivot and then punch him in the face with a right hand. And I'm telling you, it might go 15 seconds. It's a possibility. And everybody wants to say Floyd's going to do this. I think Floyd wants to embarrass this guy. Floyd doesn't want to go 12 rounds with anybody in his 50th fight. Floyd's going to train to knock this dude out in 30 seconds. Go there, go to the middle of the round, go middle of the ring, and punch him as hard as you can in the face and end it right off the bat. I think that's going to be the best thing for everybody.
Here's my question. When on fight night, is it a pro-Floyd crowd or pro-Connor crowd?
It's not even close. It's Connor. It's not even close. It's not close. No way. It's not going to be close. I'll bet anything for sure pro-Connor. For sure.
And I've told this to multiple people. Floyd has everything to lose in this fight. Right. Connor has nothing to lose.
Nothing.
Connor's going to make a ton of money.
Correct.
He can return to MMA. The target is December 30th in Las Vegas to be his return to MMA. He has nothing to lose. Floyd has everything to lose. Everyone knows how much that O is important to Floyd Mayweather.
Sure.
Now, I've heard boxing people say this. You know, he'll be 50-0 after this fight.
Mm-hmm.
Is a 50-0 tarnish at all?
It's impossible.
Because the 50th fight is against a guy who hasn't had one pro fight.
You can't tarnish somebody not losing to everybody put in front of him. And listen, McGregor is going to come out this smelling rosier than Mayweather, because, first of all, Floyd Mayweather is at the end of his career, okay? He doesn't need people. He doesn't need people. McGregor needed Mayweather. Now he's going to double his fan base, because now Mayweather people are going to jump over to McGregor. When he gets his, you know, cap peeled back and he gets knocked out in probably a minute or so, he's going to jump up. He made $100 million. He's going to go back in MMA, and there's going to be more people following him and more people loving him. He cannot lose in this situation. First of all, he has to fight 100 times to make $100 million in MMA. Okay? He's not going to make that much money. I mean, other than Diaz a couple times, who else is a big name that he needs to fight? Nobody that I would know. And I really watch the sport.
To hardcore MMA fans, there's a couple of fights. There's Khabib Nurmagomedov, there's Tony Ferguson, but in terms of a big money fight, Conor is the money.
He's the money.
Everyone Absolutely. Wants to fight him mm-hmm. because, to me, I'm more interested in the press conferences. Because what Agreed. Is Conor oh, going God. To say? Because you, oh, you know.
Hey, let me tell you something. They went back and they went to a couple of his press conferences. He says some racist stuff, straight up. It's not even close, though. And he doesn't care what he says. And this is what he's going to say. I promise you. He's going to say something about Floyd abusing women and stuff, and he doesn't care. So it's going to be amazing. It really is. I can't wait.
It's going to be live on ESPN.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
They're going to have to put those press conferences in a major delay.
No doubt, yes.
A minute?
Maybe a minute, yes. Because there's going to be a fisticuff, too. At least Floyd's people are going to fight McGregor's people. At least, have you seen the goon squad, both of these people they come with? They're going to scrap. I guarantee they won't mix well at all. So, I mean, I say this before. This is the best matchup I've ever seen, ever done. Whoever got this done is a genius. Whether it's, you know, Dana White or whoever the hell did it, it's genius. You're bringing two sports, two villains, two champions. Together, I can't wait. Seriously.
And I think boxing ultimately wins at the end of the day because this undercard is going to be filled with guys who are promoted by Floyd Mayweather, those up-and-coming guys that they can promote and potentially make a big star. This, you know, in terms of, yes, it's going to help Conor because I was looking at this the other day. Conor McGregor has 5 million likes on Facebook. How many do you think Floyd has?
50 million?
13.
Really? I mean, that's a big difference now.
Yeah,
that's
a huge difference.
That's a big difference. But listen, it's about the power of it all together. You have two whole sports coming together. We have people who love Floyd, people hate Floyd, love McGregor, hate McGregor, people that love boxing, people that love MMA. They're all coming. They're all coming. And whether you think this is stupid or not, you're going to watch.
It's a spectacle.
Absolutely, it's a spectacle. I've been to a Tyson fight in Vegas. It's not about the fight. It's about the spectacle. It's about Magic Johnson being in front of you and Pam Anderson and seeing every star that you know walking by. It's about every woman in that place dressed to a T as a dime piece and you stop looking at perfect women. It was a spectacle. This thing here is going to be it's going to be impossible to get tickets, and I can't wait to see what they charge for the tickets up in there. It's going to be amazing. I tell you what.
The ticket price haven't come out yet officially. I've heard the cheap ticket's $2,500. How much do you think cage side is?
Oh, man. Cage side?
Or ringside?
They might get $100,000 for them. They might.
$100,000.
Really? Well, listen, look how many people are going to see you. You're Big Willie. If you're going to be front row of that one, you're big. You know, okay, I'm going to tell you who's going to be, okay? It's going to be Jay-Z. It'll be maybe Spike Lee. It's going to be that caliber of person. If you're not, you know, Bono from U2, you're not getting in the front row. You know who's going to buy those tickets? Their labels. Stick them right in the front, 100,000. You're not going to be able to buy that ticket. I'm telling you, that's going to be the hottest ticket.
Oh, no. You know who I want to be there?
Who's that?
Donald Trump.
I never thought of that. You can't put. Yeah, he could. In the front. Yeah. I mean, it's that would be. I never thought of that. That's a good possibility. I tell you what, I could see the Kardashians up there possibly. It's going to be who's who. The first three rows of that fight are going to be the who's who. Because, you know, if you're Will Smith, okay, you don't ever get, nobody tells you no. If you're Will Smith and you say, I want to be front row, nobody tells you no. You know why? You'll just reach in your pocket. His hot pockets are deep as hell. But how many people are in Hollywood like that? You know what I mean? Jack Nicholson. If he wants to go front row, he goes front row. But there's only so many front row tickets.
It's kind of like Tampa. Tampa is kind of a town. It's a place to be seen. These big events. A lot of people want to be seen there.
At times, yes.
That's what Vegas is going to be on that night.
Oh, no, please. I mean, that Vegas thing is nothing like Tampa, bro. Because when they gather in Vegas, it's a different feel, man. It's a different money. You could smell it. You could taste it. And there's money everywhere. And I that was a time where I had a little bit of money, but nobody was looking at me. Nobody was looking at me because, sitting in front of me in front of the Tyson fight, I said Pam Anderson was there, And she was on that show back in the day. It was a daytime show with four hot cops in it. They're all there. They're all in the front. They're all hot. And Frank Zito was there also with a Hell's Angels jacket on. And my buddy spills a beer on the back of Frank Zito with a Hell's Angels jacket. I'm like, this is not good. This is not good. Because I'll throw hands with most of them. I'm not fighting a guy with a Hell's Angels jacket on. I'm just not. Why? Because I'm a smart guy. So that was our MMA talk, and we're going to go back to that as we get closer to the fight, because that's Jason's thing. I love it, too. And I've been watching some of McGregor's fights, and he's a loony bin. And I don't know how he's just going to sit there and take punches and how that's gonna work out. Now, our boy OJ Simpson, his parole hearing is July 20th, which is my birthday. He should come out. He should. The funny part is he should come out. I am not an OJ Simpson fan by any means. I watch every one of the documentaries. This is how it went down. He got away with chopping off two people's heads. Okay. He got away with that. But unfortunately, you got to wipe the slate clean. Then he did something silly and went and strong-armed people to get back his memorabilia. Then he went back to court. And then because he got let off for cutting off people's heads, they gave him like 20 times what his sentence should have been. I don't believe he's had too many situations since. And I think he has a good chance of coming out. Like, I mean, we're talking about CTE, and we're going to bring that up in a second. Anybody ever look to see if O.J. Simpson is just cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs? Because when O.J. Think about how long O.J. Simpson's played, okay? He played till he couldn't play no more. He played in a day where they had two and three practices a day. Wait till they cut his brain open. It's not going to be good because he's done. If you watch the documentaries, okay, they all talk about he snaps and he goes away. And that's when the guy gets scary. So he snaps so much that he chopped people's heads off. Like, I hope I don't get to a situation where I'm there. I would like to cash out way before that. But O.J. Simpson, I guarantee, and I hope he's donated his brain to science when he's done, because I don't think his brain's going to be all that great. Look at that. I think they have to let him out, though, and that's going to happen July 20th. Now, I have to talk about my guy Warren Sapp that came out the other day and said he's going to donate his brain to science. And, you know, that's a thing that a lot of football players are going through now. And what I'm going to say is, I think people should be leery and keep, you know, pay attention to Warren, because, you know, when you're saying these kind of things, that means to me that you're going through something. Okay. You know, I understand the forgetting part, but when he talks about being helpless is not a good word. Okay. So, I mean, people should keep a good eye instead of, you know, a lot of people sitting back and commenting on Warren, and Warren is this and Warren is that. Warren has been through a lot. And Warren has had a lot of situations where he didn't handle himself well at all. But it could be Warren still crying out for help as well, because, you know, as athletes, we're pretty strong-willed. And to come out and, you know, almost concede to something, it doesn't happen very often. So to me, I think he's going through some tough times. And that's my guy. I'm gonna reach out to him and see if he needs any help. If he takes it or not, I don't know. But, I mean, that's one thing that I think most athletes fight. And when you hear people like Junior Seau, and I know there's others that shot themselves in the chest and not the head because they didn't want to mess up their brain so everybody can, you know, look and see how things are going on. I mean, that's a tough place to be. And unfortunately, a lot of people say, like, the day before they did it, they were fine. They looked great, and they were happy, and nobody knows what people are or the way they're acting when they're behind closed doors. And I commend Warren for coming out. I commend Warren for talking to people about youth football. But as long as football's around and as long as the rules stay the same, concussions ain't going nowhere, okay? And the NFL is still denying that numerous concussions could be detrimental later on in your life. And shame on you, NFL. Shame on you. Every one of your teams every year make about $250 million. Shame on you if you can't take care of some of the older players that are hurting, like Warren Sapp and many others that are going through this, and you're just going to wait till there's more suicides. I say shame on y'all. Speaking of youth football, I just had a football camp this week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And I had young kids from 6 years old all the way to 12. And parenting has changed. I think everything in the world has changed. And I'm going to be 50 this year, so I'm an old fuddy-duddy. But what used to be is not anymore. And I just know one thing. I know old school. I'm an old school guy. If you weren't listening when my coach was talking, he would spit tobacco juice on your shoes. Okay, that's where we came from. Now I don't even think the parents want you to really even yell at your kid. I yell at their kid because there were some kids out there that couldn't listen for 4 seconds at any time, and I had them for 3 days. I had them for 3 days and 3 hours, and some of them weren't able to shut the hell up for a minute. They weren't able to do it. I don't know what's happening in schools, but it's a tough time because when I look at these kids, and first of all, when I say line up and face this way, and half the kids are facing the wrong way, you're in the wrong thing. You can't be a football player. If I say face this way and you can't take that guidance, don't be a football player because it gets way more complicated than that, okay? When you have kids crying because they're not on the right team, don't pick football. Football is for tough people, and parents don't put them in it because their kids are soft. Football is not a place for soft people. And I tell these kids when they come out, I say, listen, football is entertaining, but football is not always fun. Okay? But in order to become a great football player, you have to do a bunch of stuff that's not fun. It's not fun to go out and run all day long. It's not fun to lift all those weights. I mean, I enjoyed it, but not many people do. I mean, people like to exercise, but is it fun? If you say, Ian, you'll stay at this weight if you sit on the couch and eat cake or work out. I'm going to sit on the couch and eat cake. It doesn't work out that way, unfortunately, so I have to work out. But I don't work out that much to where if I didn't have to, I would. I don't think I would. If I didn't have to, I would stop working out. And I work out just about every day. That's because I like to eat and drink, unfortunately. But these kids now are a different breed than they used to be, and it's scary a little bit because I couldn't imagine being a teacher. Like, I always say this, and this is with a straight-ass face. When somebody says they want to be a teacher now, I shake their hand. It's the most commendable thing ever. But I think y'all crazy. For the little bit of money that they pay teachers, I think that's almost as disgusting as the NFL not paying their players, the players that are hurting. Pay the teachers, everybody. Doesn't it make sense, okay? The future of, and this, I'm not Whitney Houston, the future of everything is children, okay? It doesn't make sense to put more money into teachers so you get a better grade of teacher. And that's not dogging teachers out. I think there's some fabulous teachers out there. But we're still seeing a lot of stories of teachers touching boys, teachers touching girls. And when you're not respecting the teachers, I think that's what you're going to get. And when I see teachers that are like, passionate about what they do, man, you almost want to treat them like the military now. They're that important, okay? They're that important because I think people are just allowing these kids just to run things. I can't do it. I can't do it. I think I yelled at a couple kids that I don't think had been yelled at in 10 years. I don't care. If you don't want your kid to get yelled at, listen to me closely. Don't put them in football. If you don't want your kid yelled at, please don't put them in football. Because when a coach yells at you, that's the way it's going to be. And until you do it right, you're going to get yelled at. So there's no way around that. So I dealt with these kids. I got another football camp coming up next week for a little bit older kids. If you want to put your kid in there, you can go to theprepofsouthtampa.com and look up Ian Beckles football camp. Now, another thing happened this week is I've been talking about how sensitive people are. Mike Francesa, who I just don't care for. I find him so dang boring. Like, when I'm listening to him, I just want to fall asleep. And I think he's fallen asleep a couple times while he was talking. Why, I don't know. We'll find out. But Mike Francesa came out, and he was talking about an Asian group, and he said Oriental Americans. And everybody is up in arms. Oh, my goodness. He said Oriental Americans. He's a terrible person. Let's get over our damn selves, okay? It's a word, right? If he thought, you know, it was a word that you shouldn't use, he probably wouldn't have used it over and over and over. He didn't know any better. Oriental was a word that we used growing up. One of my best friends growing up, Raymond Sakawi, Japanese, love his parents to death like they're my parents. That's my brother. I said Oriental my whole childhood. So now if I say it, I'm racist? Stop it, everybody. Okay? Stop it. It's getting to a point now where you can't say anything anymore. You can't say anything. If you're politically correct, people are upset. And if you're not politically correct, people are upset. So that's where we are right now. Now, I'm going to dip into a little pop culture. This is something I don't understand. Since I've been in existence, I think that Uber might be one of the best inventions I've ever seen. And the Uber CEO has resigned. And I guess that tells me that there's a lot of shenanigans and tomfoolery going on behind closed doors. You've heard stuff about sexism and a lot of different things going on in the front office. But as far as the product goes, I think Uber is one of the best products I've ever been around. I fought it for a while thinking it's just a taxi. It's just a taxi. It's stupid. Doesn't make sense. Until I took an Uber once. And then I said to myself, that's the best concept I've ever seen. I can see the car pulling up to my house. He's dropping me off. I know exactly how much time. You could be in the shower knowing he's coming in 5 minutes. It's the best thing ever. I used to call a cab and they would say, he'll be there in 45 minutes. No. Uber, 5 minutes, they're right around the corner. And the last time I got an Uber, the dude pulled up in a Tesla. So next time I'm going to request the Tesla. But to me, the Uber CEO resigning, I heard there's a lot of complaints and a lot of things going on. The second Uber folds, I'm going to start some other kind of company and bite off what they did. But obviously, there's some shenanigans going on. Now, my favorite part of the show, Flavor in the Year, is the Donald Trump section. Politics is fantastic now. As my boy Jason Holfish steps into the room, I've talked politics with him before. And we will talk politics again. But I just got to talk about little Donald Trump a little bit, and I think some of this will probably entertain Jason. First of all, there's daily terrorist attacks now. I swear every day, the other day, somebody, a Canadian guy, jumps over the border and stabs a cop, and he's yelling Allah Akbar, and now he's part of ISIS. He's Canadian. There's no ISIS in Canada. What are you going to do? You're going to do you're going to do a ban on Canada now? I think ISIS is getting too much pub, okay? Just because you're a Canadian guy that hates America, which there's a few up there, and you're yelling out a couple words, we're giving them too much damn credit. I think they're taking credit for everything out there that happens. And it's to the point now where there is a daily terrorist attack somewhere, and I think there's so much press that we're catching every little bit of it now. The politics that I've been listening to and I watch all the shows, this is what I've come out of it. And I watch all the different sides. And I think that's important. If you just watch one side, you get yourself funny. This is what I took out of this whole thing. There's only one person that hasn't admitted that Russia meddled with the election. There's only one person in the whole world. It's Donald Trump. He's the only person. Every single swinging dilly around him has said that, yes, Russia meddled, and he still won't admit it. Now, that's the guy who's making the decisions that are for our country. But he won't admit something that there's 110% unequivocal facts. He won't admit that. I don't want that guy making decisions for me. Now, I did the math, okay? They were saying that, obviously, Russia affected the election. This is the numbers they came up with. In Illinois, they were affecting 5 votes every second for 24 hours, okay? That's just Illinois. 5 votes every second for 24 hours. Now, I did the calculation, and it comes out to 432,000 votes. That's for Illinois. And they said Russia affected 21 states. So, in all, these guys affected, obviously you're saying that they affected the outcome, obviously. But 9 million votes, if you multiply it by 21 states, it'll be 9 million votes. So if you're not admitting that it happened, I think you're telling on yourself somewhat. You gotta be. And I think we're not only heading in a bad direction, we're in a bad direction. And when I'm seeing Sean Spicer get up there and he's looking for his replacement, who the hell would want to be his replacement? Who would want to be? That job description should be under the bus. Because when you go up there and you try to explain whatever Donald Trump's trying to think, if you say one thing, he may say another thing that same day, and then all of a sudden you're a liar. I know Sean Spicer went up to Donald Trump and said, dude, I had enough. I'm tired of being part of skits on Saturday Night Live. I don't want to do this anymore. But I can't really think who the hell would want to take that job. I certainly don't want it. Anyway, Donald Trump's going to keep it fresh and he's going to keep it fun. And I don't know if it's actually fun anymore. It's actually getting a little bit disgusting, but gives us something to talk about. I always have a wonderful time talking to you people. Make sure you go to Apple Podcasts and give me some love. If you're going to be mean, don't go. If you're going to be nice, go to Apple Podcasts and give me a nice review. And also, June 30th, we have the big event happening at the Mahaffey. You can check out all the information at themahaffey.com. Love talking to you people. This has been Flavor in Your Ear, Ian Beckles. Everybody have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Peace out.
To keep the conversation going, follow Ian on Twitter, at Ian Beckles. And check out DignitaryRadio.com to get the latest on where you can find him next. This has been Ian Beckles, Flavor in Your Ear on Radio Influence.
Put the flavor in your ear, the voice of the people's here. It's here. Bring that flavor in your ear. Flavor in your ear. Bringing that flavor in your ear. Flavor.
This is a fabulous Sports Babe quick fix on Radio Influence.
We got to do this. My friend Linda Cohn, who I've known forever, is going to come here. But I do this ridiculous podcast, and it's like, okay, it's fine. I don't want to do anything else. I'll do this ridiculous stuff. I say to her, and I go, Jerry, nobody knows who I am. And she goes, oh, they do. And I said, no. But they don't know. People that are 30 right now have no idea what I was doing, but at least you've been there all along. And I did what I had to do, which was horrible. If it was me, it was horrible. But I had to do it because people said, if you don't do this, it's going to be another 20 years before they let a woman do that. And that's why I had to do it. But it was a pain in the ass for me.
Yeah, I know it was. I mean, I witnessed what I saw when you were at ESPN. And that's the thing. But you know what? I love that you kept going at it and you blocked it out. Now, a lot of people think, and I say that now, and I say what you should do, and I'm telling you that you blocked it out. But I know me, and there were some nights, a lot of them, that I would get home. I'd call my mother when she was alive to say, you know what? I just got a very irritating phone call, you know, because they would just let people write through. Oh, you want to complain? Here. Voicemail at work, you know? So I would like an idiot, listen to my voicemails after a late sports center. And that's what I would hear. And I'd be calling my mother on the way home, no matter what time, 1 a.m., 2 a.m. And she would give me the support. And then my dad would, you know, use some expletives regarding how those people felt about me doing sports. And we could be perfect. You could do the perfect radio show, which you did. I can't do perfect sports centers back in the day, which, you know, I came close to doing. And you know what? I'd still get people hating on me. And that's what we went through. But we never complained about it. You know, we did it to our loved ones just to get through. But I know I had those nights and moments, sure, a lot of them, that I'm like, what am I doing? What's going on? This isn't fair. And I'd be in tears.
You know, and because we came from the same place, you know, I could have had a fine life in Seattle. You know, couldn't you have had we would have had a fine life in Seattle, but there was something that we had to do. And you were very young at what happened. And I was too. But I had to do it, because if they didn't do it, it'd be another 20 years before they put somebody on the radio, put another woman
That's
on it.
That's right.
And we could, believe me, we would have had a fine time in Seattle. It was a great place to be.
Yeah, no one leaves Seattle except us.
It's true. We're the only ones that left, like clodhoppers and that. But there was something you had to do and there was something inside of me. I mean, I remember talking to people at other, how will I put this, other radio stations in New York. And they were like, what are you doing? I said, I have to do this. I have to be the one person that does it. Because if I don't do it in 1993, no, it's going to take another 20 years. And I think it took another 20 years for them to put women on there again. Because I probably, because I made them crazy, and that's okay.
Yeah, and now look at it. I mean, thank God, thanks to you, look at all these women on the radio. And they're giving, and they have opinions, and they're giving opinions. And it's fabulous.
Well, and I like,
but that's, you hit it on the head, though. You hit it on the head. If you did not do it, you know, and if I did not show that I could, you could be more than a sideline reporter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who would have done it?
Well, and it would have been putting, and I'm like, listen, I'm too old and too fat to put out on the sidelines. You know, I don't want to do any of that. All I wanted to do was anchor. All I wanted to do was anchor. That's all. There was something about it that I liked radio and you liked TV, and it was just the same thing. But they wanted me to go out and do stuff. And I said, I'm not going out there on the sidelines. I'll anchor anything you want, but I'm not talking to those people out there.
Well, you're better than that. And, I, no offense to those women that did it. And I always say that when I do speaking engagements, I always say, aim higher. You know, when they, you know, when the Erin Andrews and the Pam Oliver, like, I love Pam, but, you know, when they came out and Susie Colbert, you know, what set Susie and Pam apart from all the rest, those two, is that they had knowledge, they paid their dues, they said more than somebody in their ear asking, how do you, tell them to ask you, how do you feel, you know? So I would always say, though, with all due respect to the Michelle Tafoyas and all the good ones, I would say to young people, aim higher than that. You could do better than that. You could be an authoritative voice, not just a supporting cast member.
The Fabulous Sports Big can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and RadioInfluence.com.